All right, this is Frank Maloney with my able-bodied and trusty cohort, Jim Hobgood.
Oh, you forgot good-looking.
Well, that too.
Well, there's a reason you forgot that.
You take liberties there. you're listening to Who's Talking, and as you can tell, this particular host has got a terrible cold. But anyhow, glad to be on the air with you guys, and we're looking forward to some interesting dialogue here in a few minutes. We're going to have Paul Montana, Kevlar Daily columnist and Sabre contributor. He'll be with us in 5 to 10 minutes. He's going to give us sort of what it was like to be down in Cary, North Carolina, and watching the Cavaliers win the NCAA championship.
It was cold, I think. Relatively cold and wet. 345-0910, by the way, is the phone number. This would be a good opportunity to get in and comment on anything that Whitey Reed talked about relative to the basketball team, your own thoughts on the basketball team, the football situation. A lot has gone on in Charlottesville in recent weeks. So if you have a thought or a question, give us a call, 345-0910.
Couple of items. First piece of good news is UVA is currently in second place in the Director's Cup standings, which have just come out. It's one of the preliminary reports. I think the first major fall report comes out in early January, at which point they factor in the results from the bowl season and so forth. But
certainly an impressive early result.
Oh, absolutely.
I guess what the best Virginia's ever done was eighth in that.
Twice we finished eighth. You've got to think that Virginia could do better this year. It looks like men's basketball has an outside shot at the NIT. Women's basketball should be able to make the NCAAs again.
But then you got swimming, baseball, lacrosse, other things in the
tennis.
Spring. Tennis.
How could you leave out tennis?
And I'm
golf.
I'm sorry, Mr.
And
tennis.
The great game of golf.
And we had Brian Bolin on several weeks ago. So golf, tennis, lots of good news in the spring for Virginia athletics.
So there's no reason to think that we can't finish maybe in the top five and maybe challenge Stanford and some of these other folks. But it's interesting. Stanford is only ahead by a few points. North Carolina is about 50 points behind us, then Villanova and UCLA. And I think I was very surprised to see that Villanova was in the top five.
Well, they were probably helped by their football championship, because I assume that counts.
Right, that's true. Very good.
FCS very good. Football championship by a CAA team following Richmond's championship last year. Something else that might be of interest to anybody who might want to call in or talk about it is some of the items, the top moments of 2009 that was in the paper recently, I guess December 24th, Christmas Eve, where they talked about, the 19th national title achieved by the UVA soccer team, the College World Series trip last summer by the Brian O'Connor and the baseball squad, the two new hires this year, 2009, Mike London and Tony Bennett. Record crowd for women's basketball, and I think you got a comment or two about Debbie Ryan and the women's basketball team when the Tennessee came to town a few weeks ago, and then, of course, women's field hockey, another women's sport that made its third appearance in the NCAA semifinals. So a lot of success in a lot of areas for Virginia athletics in 2009.
Well, you have to be very much having a lot of confidence in UVA athletics. I mean, overall, if you look at the 25 programs that Virginia runs, virtually all of them are running at a very high level, excellent coaching.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I think last academic year they won 6 ACC championships last year.
I believe so.
Yeah. So
which led the conference.
Yeah. That's the good news. The bad news is the two sports that really matter from a revenue standpoint are basketball and football. But both of those are on their way back. In my opinion,
I agree. I think Virginia's made very clever hires. I think Tony Bennett is clearly the right fit at UVA, and Mike London is a slam dunk. He's a terrific guy and the perfect guy to help build that new momentum that can take Virginia back to the top half of the conference.
Well, I think Coach London understands Virginia, having been there twice previously with the football program. Understands the state of Virginia from a standpoint of recruiting, and obviously has now had success as a head coach at the University of Richmond. So, as you say, perfect fit, and just fans need to be patient, understand that he needs to have a year or two to rebuild, bring some of his kids in there, which I think he will do, and bright days are ahead, in my opinion.
One piece of good news I received today was that Rashad Dowling is returning for his fourth year and is not going to turn pro. I think that's a great situation for Virginia. That means that Virginia will have three of the starting four players back in the secondary next year, and there's two or three others that are returning. So except for Chris Cook's graduation, most of the secondary will be back, and I think that's crucial for the Virginia defense next year.
Well, and Rashad Dowling coming back may be an indicator that the players are happy with the selection of Mike London.
I think that is a great indicator, and I feel confident that a lot of people will be picking up on that in the coming weeks prior to National Signing Day. So
now, the one thing that we're still waiting for is the offense-defensive coordinator positions, which we may get some news on that as early as next week.
I think word is coming soon.
Yes, soon. Between now and our next show.
Yes, we hope to have that information for you. Other news, the Lady Cavaliers, Hoopsters, they went out and won the Marriott Cavalier Classic, defeating Liberty 63-54. And believe it or not, none other than Monica Wright scored 19 points, and she tied a school record with 10 steals, which I believe Donna Holt was the previous sole record holder there. At this point, Monica Wright is now tied with Heather Burge in total points, and she's now just trailing Dawn Staley by a few points. And we understand that Paula's finally caught up to us. Paula, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hi, Frank.
Paul, how are you, buddy?
I'm really good. Thanks. Enjoying the holiday season. A little time off from school.
Well, glad that you could join us tonight. We were talking about the victory by the Cavaliers down in Cary, North Carolina, just a few short weeks ago. Very impressive. The Cavaliers defeated Akron in those penalty kicks, which, you know, you hate to see a championship come down to that. But other than that, they probably could play all day, right?
Oh yeah, I mean, especially with that defense. You know, you saw a streak of over 1,000 minutes without a goal, which is really just an unbelievable streak.
Well, as I've said before, Paul, this is Jim Hobgood, by the way. you hate to see it come down to penalty kicks if you lose.
Yeah, right.
You're not quite as disappointed to come down to that if you win. I'm still trying to figure out why they don't call it tiebreaker kicks when they're, deciding the outcome of the game. But regardless, had to be an exciting time to be down there as a Virginia fan.
Oh, yeah, it was very exciting. There was certainly a small but loyal group of, I guess they're called the Wahooligans, which is the group of soccer student group. There wasn't a big crowd there, obviously, because of the weather. And, you know, both North Carolina teams got knocked out in the semis. So the fan, there wasn't a ton of fans there, but certainly, you know, as a soccer fan, you couldn't. It is really fun to watch a game like that where it's just, you know, rugged and there's weather and guys are obviously really, really fighting. So it was certainly very enjoyable.
Help me out on this, and you may not know the answer to that, but Cary, North Carolina, it seems like they've played that event there several times now. Is that the permanent home, or do they move that NCAA soccer championship around?
I think they're moving around. You know, I have a vague memory that they said some announcement about how they're moving it in a couple of years. But, you know, I actually don't know the answer to that. I think it's not permanently there forever, but I think it has been there quite a few times.
Well, actually, it does rotate. And just a few years ago, it was held here in Richmond, over there at Richmond Stadium.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
I was there, and it was cold. It wasn't raining for that event, but it's very cold. Well, tell us, Paul, give us your thoughts on what it was like to be down there and watching the Cavaliers beating Akron and winning that sixth NCAA title for the soccer program.
Yeah, it was pretty unbelievable. Obviously, it was a long time coming for Coach Gelinovac. And obviously, he had to feel some pressure. You know, Bruce Arena wins, you know, four in a row, and then he takes over and goes, 13 years without one. So he certainly had to be feeling some pressure. It was nice, certainly nice for him. His parents were there, and they were really happy for him. I was pretty skeptical about this team, to be honest, really throughout the playoffs. I just thought that their defense eventually would let up, and I didn't know that they had the firepower. But, you know, one thing they said that was really true is that especially their defense really got better, like every game. You know, even going into the Final Four and the Final, the Final was, I think, the best defensive performance they had all year. And that really speaks I think, to the coaching staff. It sees his development of some young guys who hadn't had a lot of experience the year before, really developing. So it was a fun team to watch and even develop even into the postseason.
Tell our listeners about the team itself. I mean, do they have a lot of kids coming back next year? Was it primarily a young team? What do they lose off of this championship squad?
You know, what they keep is they keep their entire back four and plus the goalkeeper, which obviously was the cornerstone of that team. So certainly they're going to be, just with that, you think they're going to be in the hunt again for another national championship. What they lose their holding midfielder, or their defensive midfielder, Ross LeBeau, who is certainly, he was really a pretty underrated part of that defense, did a good job containing some good attacking midfielders. But that's a place that I think they can fill, because he actually himself was a converted forward, so they can find people on the roster to fill that. Probably the biggest person they lose is Neil Barlow, who was really important for them, especially early in the year when they had a lot of youth they were still trying to work out. But he played outside midfielder, typically on the left side. But that's another position that it really isn't. It's not typically hard to find a guy who can play there. So other than that, they lose Jordan Evans, who's a reserve forward, and that's it. So especially when you consider Diego Restrepo, who is just an unbelievable goalkeeper, and he'll only get better in the back four. There's no reason to think that why they couldn't contend again next year.
Well, defense wins championships.
Especially soccer.
Yeah.
Particularly
yes. Air
soccer. Too. But I got to tell you, Virginia had some offensive weapons. I mean,
they did.
If we can ever get Brian Ownby from Glen Allen, Virginia, healthy.
Right.
The kick that he made that beat Wake Forest in overtime was unlike anything I think I've ever seen in soccer.
And what year is he?
I think isn't he only a second-year player?
Yes, he was a sophomore this year, I believe, yes.
And Frank Maloney all over that, you notice. Yeah, he's very, very, very happy about picking that one right.
Now, you've also got the young man from Norfolk, Tony Tachani.
Yes, Tachani, yes.
I tell you what, that if he can figure it out, he could be unstoppable.
Yes. Now, my understanding is that there is some chance he will go pro. That's not true. Coach Gelnevat said that is not true for anybody else, but there is some chance that he could go pro even after this year, but that's sort of a wait and see kind of thing. So,
and then
I should have mentioned that with who the losses might be, but yeah, it's unquestionable whether he'll be back.
Then you've got Villanueva, who was named the MVP of the College Cup. What's his situation?
Well, I mean, he's certainly going to be back. The interesting thing about him, he wasn't really even starting. He didn't even start until the postseason. Frankly, he kind of has some mental lapses sometimes, particularly defensively. But he was so, so talented offensively. I mean, you saw what he did. He set up that goal that Ownby had.
Right.
It was just a phenomenal ball that went about 50 yards and just landed in the perfect spot. I mean, he also, I think he had what they call an assist in the first goal where he basically created a shot and then they scored on the rebound in that same game. So, yeah, he is really a talented kid. And if he could, keep his head in the game all the time, I mean, he certainly has professional potential. And I agree, Chani, if they can get him back, is an unbelievable player. Will Bates, who was, I think, probably their most valuable player in the second half of the season, really a Gelnevat kind of guy forward, really a big kid who, wreaks havoc in the box and does a good job of holding onto the ball.
Paul, we got to go to break now. We appreciate you joining us. Thank you for giving us the commentary, firsthand exposure to the championship game down there. And listeners and fans, we will return in a few moments after these words.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thank you, Paul.